Hi, I'm Bishop Stephen Croft. Welcome to this edition of My Extraordinary Family, in which I talk each week to somebody from the Diocese of Oxford about their life and work and ministry and story. And today I'm really delighted to be with Tina Molyneux, who recently has begun working for the Diocese as Discipleship Enabler. Tina's ordained, she's a mum of three triplets. Tina, it's lovely to be with you. Thank you for joining me today. We're actually sitting in my office in Church House, the first time we've recorded something here. Tell me a bit about your Christian story and how you come to be a disciple of Jesus.
Thank you. Well, I grew up in Eccleston, St. Helens. I had a fantastic church that we went to with a lovely vicar, Jim Hamilton. I went to Sunday school, Pathfinders. I've got a concordance with for attendance at Pathfinders with an inscription on that. And then we had a thriving youth club, and I actually brought my Bible with me because I was looking at my Bible.
It's really old and well thumbed.
It's very battered.
Written on. Yeah.
Written on all the way through. And it actually contained a very comprehensive prayer list. My prayer life was very broad. Yeah. I was praying for Mrs. Thatcher's economic policy and the effect it was having on our local people.
And how old were you when you were praying for
this
Mrs. Thatcher's policy?
This is in 1981, so wow. I was born in 1968. You'll have to do the maths yourselves. Yeah. So I was praying for earthquakes, you know, all sorts, but along with my piano lessons and my friends and my grannies and the death of Bill Shankly.
I am a Liverpool supporter.
Yeah.
This is such a well-thumbed Bible, and one thing I notice is it is equally well read in the Old Testament as the New Testament.
Yes.
So clearly you were steeped in
We had really great foundations, that's right, and you know, we were blessed with a fantastic church. And so I was a very lively faith all the way through, member of Christian Union at school, you know, choirs, all sorts of things. A very lively faith until really I went on to university. Right. I went to Leeds University, I studied politics, and despite the fact that actually there was a local leader of a church there that I knew from my cypher holidays, that, you know, we used to go on the church youth fellowship holidays, I just found the Christian Union. I looked at the people in the Christian Union and I thought, I don't want to be like that. I just felt like it was boring. And I think I call it my hokey cokey time of faith for about maybe 10 years. I was one foot in and one foot out. And I wasn't so much a fan of the church. I always called myself a Christian, and I always stood up for the Christian point of view in debates. When I went on to work in human resources at a graduate training scheme in Tesco, I was known as a Christian and I had Christian ethics, but I had difficulties living out, you know, finding a church that I was comfortable and belonging and taking on responsibilities.
Wow. And, so how did that change again?
So that changed when I really irritated myself. I got fed up with, I thought, this is not the Christian life. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. And I decided to put my whole self in. We moved to Littlewick Green, a beautiful Berkshire village. I moved out of London and I was drawn back to church. It was the least likely church, you know, it was quite a small village church. I literally put my whole self in as soon as I arrived. And of course, within minutes was on most of the rotors. And then I ended up leading a Fresh Expression in that church. And
what kind of Fresh Expression?
It was a very traditional church, and there was nothing really to explore prayer, to explore more informal worship. And we set up something called Time Out. So we had informal worship, we explored different sorts of prayer, we explored meditation. We had different themes, different age groups, and it was intended for people who were on the fringes of church.
And was that part of then your journey to be ordained?
Well, it wasn't really. I took on more and more leadership roles. The then Bishop of Reading, Stephen Cottrell, came and visited us, and he mentioned to me, had I considered ordained ministry? My vicar asked me whether I'd considered ordained ministry. I didn't consider ordained ministry in any sense. I didn't feel called to being a priest. I didn't recognise that till I was actually writing the intercessions on a Friday morning. So I hasten to say I was writing the intercessions. I wasn't praying. No. I didn't know that God listened when you were writing the intercessions, in my defence. And Friday morning in my kitchen, I was writing the intercessions and I wrote down, I pray that we will use our gift to support our ministry team. And an audible shout came out, Well, your gift is to lead. And I don't know how many times, in how many ways, I need to tell you your gift is to lead in the ministry team.
An audible shout.
An audible shout.
So you heard a voice.
And it was in a morning. I hadn't had a drink. I wasn't drunk on the spirit. It was an audible shout. I think I actually did fall off my kitchen chair.
Well, I would have done too.
It took me quite a long time to recover from, actually. Yeah. But I had the audacity to actually respond to that with, "No, you haven't. You've never told me." And now I look back and I think, the bishop had mentioned it, the vicar had mentioned it, lots of other friends, I led the toddler group and all sorts of things. And lots of people had said, "You're our leader, will you do?" But I didn't see that in the context of ordained leadership. And then God showed me the ways and the people that he'd spoken through immediately. Even then, my response was, this was all in 5 minutes, but even then my response was, "No, not. The Church of England was just not an institution that I was interested in being."
Well, you'd spent so long being half in and half out.
In and half out. And when I chose somewhere to work, I wanted to work somewhere fast moving, forward thinking, you know, change and thinking, not the Church of England. No. Anyway, I was then showered, absolutely showered in love and grace, and I knew how much I was loved. And it was going to be all right. You are enough. This is going to be all right.
And fast forward now.
Yes.
Your passion for seeing people use their gifts.
Yes.
And especially for lay people using their gifts is focused now in this work as discipleship enabler for the whole diocese. You were doing something similar in Berkshire for 3 years part-time.
Yes.
You've now come into our diocesan team working full-time. So what's the heart of what you're doing now, Tina?
So the heart of it is about equipping people so that they feel confident in being able to respond to their calling. So that they've got a story to tell of what God is doing in their lives, and so that they feel confident in their Monday to Saturday everyday lives, that they are confident and equipped to be able to live out their calling and their faith.
Yeah.
And so I'm developing resources to be able to identify what that would look like. So encouragement individually and encouragement in groups and encouragement in large events.
Brilliant,
and so
brilliant.
That's part of the common vision for this diocese,
where
we're trying to equip people to be confident disciples.
To use all kinds of different gifts. And this is part, isn't it, in our diocese of our response to the national report, Setting God's People Free.
Sorry.
I've done a podcast interview with Nick Shepherd, who's the national director for that. So it's a major theme now in lots of different dioceses. So let's talk just a bit about the one-to-one resources that you're developing, because I've heard you do a seminar on it and I thought it was fantastic. But tell me what that's about and how it works.
So it's called a personal discipleship plan. And that is essentially a conversation that an individual would have with a church leader or a mentor, someone appointed from within their church, or with myself. That conversation really meets someone exactly where they are on their journey. It could be that they're right at the beginning of their faith journey, or they could be well on the way to, you know, having a very mature faith. But God continues to call us, as we can see in my own life. I know that, you know, God continues to call us, and as disciples, we're not confident that we're always in what our next steps always. And this is an intentional tool that can be used. Gives you a framework to have a discussion, to find out what God's doing in someone's life, where he might be calling them. And we explore what they're attracted by, what they're passionate about, what energizes them, what challenges them. We invite the Holy Spirit into the process, we pray together, and then we normally come up with a couple of next steps. One, to fuel their inner life, the fuel for the journey, and something to explore where God might be taking them. So an outer step, a step to explore where God might be calling them.
And what's exciting you about the way people are engaging with this?
It's been incredibly positive. I've had the pleasure of going through these conversations with 70 people already myself, to see what God is doing in their lives and to see where he takes people. So once we've had the initial conversation and we've identified a couple of next steps, we normally follow up with people after a few months and see where God's taken them next, see what's happened.
Yeah.
And people are growing, so excited about what God's doing. You can sit back and enjoy what God is doing with people. Yeah. He really is. I've been encouraged by the amount of talented people we've got, by the gifts and the interesting lives that people lead. A lot of people have said to me that this is the first conversation that they've had really about who they are, where they've been in their life and where they might feel called, and to then just have the pleasure of identifying how they might get there. It's just been an absolute privilege.
And this is, you're rolling this out across the diocese, so that means you're training people and equipping them do exactly that.
We're still getting feedback and we're improving the frameworks all the time. It's really taken off. So it's not only it's taken off other dioceses. We're involved in learning communities as part of setting God's people free. So other dioceses are also taking this on. But within our own diocese, I'm training mentors to be able to have the conversations in their own churches. Yeah. And the feedback that they're giving, the actual mentors are finding it life-affirming. Right. They're saying, this is exactly where I feel that God wants me to be having these conversations. So the mentors themselves are really positive about having the conversations, as I have been myself. And the mentees are saying that it's giving them a framework to see what God's doing and to get on board with it and to transform their lives. We've got quotes of people saying it's been the most transformative aspect of their ministry in all of the years that they've been ministering. Other people have said it's been freeing people to do what they always wanted to do but didn't have time to do or didn't think that they had time to do.
That's really wonderful. And if somebody's listening to this and wants to find out more and perhaps to sign up for one of these conversations, where would they go?
They should speak to their vicar. They can have a look on our website. We've got the PDP, Personal Discipleship Plan, is on there. Under parish development resources, should speak to their vicar and ask their vicar.
No, it really sounds really wonderful, and it's such an encouraging start to one of the very, very key strands of our Diocesan Vision process.
And we've got plenty of other resources that are coming to enjoy the journey with people. This is just one step, the basis of our response.
And geared to helping people discover their gifts and live out their faith Monday
to Saturday.
To Saturday. Yeah. Brilliant. Now, as you know, Tina, at the heart of our Diocesan Vision is this wonderful call to be a more Christ-like church, more contemplative, more compassionate, and more courageous. So what are you learning at the moment about being more contemplative in your journey?
For me, I think I've learned in terms of being contemplative that it's okay to be me. So I wouldn't consider myself to be particularly contemplative. I'm quite active. I'm always on the go.
You're really organised.
I'm very practical and organised. But in terms of being contemplative, I've learned that we bring who we are as we are. We need to be rooted in prayer, and I am rooted in prayer, but I pray when I'm on the go. I've learned, and I introduce other people to, as part of the personal discipleship plans, we actually introduce people to who they are. What are the resources to help them pray as they are, to contemplate as they are.
Because we all pray in different ways.
We all pray in different ways. I use the Pray As You Go app. I use all of the apps that are available. I'm really looking forward to using the new Lent Pilgrim app. I've got that downloaded.
Excellent.
It was actually, it transformed itself. It metamorphosized.
Yes, it does, doesn't
from
it?
Follow the Star, and now it's Lent Pilgrim. So I pray on the go, and I worship, actually, and pray and dwell in the Word. Right. And I've learned that that's okay. It's okay to be you and to contemplate and pray as we are.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you, Tina. And can we close this conversation by you praying for the Diocese of Oxford at this time?
Lord God, may the light of your presence set our hearts on fire with love for you. Shape us to be more contemplative and compassionate, and ignite within us that spark of courage to respond to the call you have in each and every precious person in this diocese. Renew our confidence to see ourselves as you see us, created in your image, precious and beautiful, with an extraordinary story to tell of what you're doing in our lives. Kindle in us the fire of your love so that we radiate and reflect your warmth in our whole lives. so that together we may witness to the gift that lives within us and the God who's called us to follow him every day in all we do, think and say, for the building of your kingdom and because we love your world and your Son, now and always.
Amen. And Tina, thank you so much for talking about your hokey cokey journey, which I loved, and thank you for your ministry and for being part of this extraordinary family.
Thank you.